This is Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper.
Some people are more susceptible to addiction because of genetics, but some babies are actually born drug dependent. That's what can happen when women use heroin and opioids when they're pregnant. The U.S. has seen a dramatic increase in maternal drug addiction because of the opioid crisis.
According to the National Institutes of Health, every 25 minutes, a baby is born suffering from opioid withdrawal. We wanted to find out more about how the youngest members of the community have been affected by opioid addiction. We spoke with Dr. Sean Loudon, a pediatrician and neonatologist at Cabell Huntington Hospital in West Virginia. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Loudon.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
I wanted to start by finding out a little bit about how the opioid crisis has hit West Virginia. I know it's been particularly bad there. Can you give our listeners an idea of what things are like day to day at Cabell Huntington Hospital?
Where we are in the center of Appalachia, the opioid epidemic has hit us on a couple of different fronts because we are a hardworking group of individuals, blue collar jobs, and most people needed some relief from some of the pain they were having with their normal day-to-day operations. You know, 20 years ago, when that was sort of the emphasis from the healthcare field, many people became addicted to opioid medications. Obviously, anything that is good can be abused, and that was the case for many people in West Virginia.
And I do want to focus in on your expertise, and that's babies. Can you tell us a little bit about how babies are affected when pregnant moms are addicted to opioids?
So there's a very specific sort of brain adaptation that occurs when a fetus is exposed to opiates. Part of that is that a baby's brain doesn't really determine or care what kind of opiate that is on board. So it could be that which is prescribed, and it could also be illicit opiates such as heroin or fentanyl. The baby's brain undergoes changes over those few months inside a mom that really at the end and when that baby's born, there's just a flood of adrenaline that goes through their body. And that is what neonatal withdrawal is the baby's body reacting to its own adrenaline release. And so it can have irritation of the brain, of the GI tract with vomiting and diarrhea. They will cry, they'll have tremors. Their nervous system can be overreactive as well. And you may see some fever, sneezing and yawning and things that sort of make the baby uncomfortable.
And you've adjusted your approach to treating babies who are born addicted, because that's what happens, right? If the mom is addicted, they end up being born addicted.
So we actually don't use the word addicted in babies because addiction is a behavior. And so the babies can't actually exhibit a behavior of addiction. So they can't give up sort of rational things to go for whatever they might be addicted to. So technically what we say is drug exposed babies. Because of the exposure, they do have certain dependence, but they don't exhibit necessarily behavior. So our approach to drug exposed babies has changed over time as well. And part of that is because we have to keep up with the different substances that our babies are exposed to. But we also want to keep up with the evidence that is out there from other facilities and other research that's being done. So we kind of have to do different things based on both of those factors.
And so how long does it take you to treat babies after they've been born? What are some of the ongoing medical issues they have?
It will typically take us about a month, maybe less, to treat a baby who's exposed to opiates solely. The problem becomes when babies are exposed to multiple different medications and multiple different classes of drugs as well. It makes their withdrawal much more complex. What they deal with is a very acute phase of withdrawal, and then they may also deal with what's called a subacute phase that can frankly last for months, even after they're discharged from the hospital. And then babies who are exposed to various substances are at risk for some neurodevelopmental consequences down the road, either behavioral or cognitive. So we want to identify them and be able to allow those children to get early intervention programs if need be later in life.
There has always been a problem with babies who've been born to moms who've had problems with substance abuse. But can you sort of qualify for us how this has changed with this, what people call the opioid epidemic?
You know, some of the national research has shown that from the year 2000 up to 2009, that the exposures had gone up by as much as 6 times what they were at the beginning of the decade. And the numbers of babies with neonatal abstinence syndrome has also followed that trend and tripled over that decade of the 2000s. So that's where we first started to sort of gain momentum in being able to identify these babies and get some research focus. The numbers have continued to grow, and what the CDC has published is, you know, West Virginia ranked first among the country in babies who had neonatal abstinence syndrome at 33.4 per thousand live births, which is equal to 3.3%. Now, that compares to the country, which was still at less than 1%. You know, the CDC numbers don't really tell the whole story because we, as a state, recognize that we do have a problem, and so we've been very proactive in our approach to how we want to identify babies. And so through the state collaboratives, we've had a couple different projects where we utilize birth score information, and we know that we have at least 52 per thousand live births that are affected. So that's 5.2% of all babies born in our state are diagnosed with neonatal abstinence syndrome.
And the problem goes on beyond after that month or so when you have them in your care, right? I mean, what are the ripple effects into society? Because often the babies can't go home with their moms.
It is a burden on multiple systems. West Virginia has seen a dramatic rise in children entering the foster care system. Child Protective Services does have a very daunting task because they are responsible for determining safety of the children. They must identify parents and caregivers who are capable of putting that child's needs first. And so it is true that somebody who is in the throes of addiction may unfortunately choose that addiction over their own child. And in those circumstances, obviously, that child's not safe. But we do have a large majority of patients who are seeking treatment, who are in stable programs, who have done everything that they know how to turn their life around, to be able to put that child as a priority in their life. And in fact, mothers help babies, babies help mothers. They both help each other's recovery. And so that is a big focus on what we do medically. We want to be able to keep mothers and babies together. Ideally, we want to treat them together as well, too, because they can help each other through this process.
What more do you think needs to be done or done differently to solve this problem, if it is solvable?
You know, I think the continued focus on education. Another thing is just destigmatizing this whole epidemic. We need people to seek treatment. We also need people to understand that just because their neighbor or their friend or their cousin or whoever may have a problem doesn't mean they're a horrible person. We also need to increase the number of providers, both from a maybe medication-assisted treatment, but also from a behavioral standpoint, addiction counselors, behavioral counseling, as well as physician providers to be able to provide medication-assisted treatment. And then frankly, we need some economic recovery as well too. We need to decrease the amount of hopelessness that people feel, because then that way they won't want to escape their reality. They run toward their reality. And that's what we want from an overall recovery standpoint from our country.
Well, Dr. Loudon, thank you so much for joining us today and shining a light on this issue and all the work that you all are doing there at Cabell Huntington Hospital in West Virginia. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.